Water on the moon appears to be more spread out than previously thought, rather than being concentrated in a few areas. That finding is from a paper published in the journal Nature Geoscience. My next guest is a co-author on that paper and a planetary scientist at Northern Arizona University. Christopher Edwards joins me. And Christopher, let's start by talking about what exactly you found, which is that water on the moon is more widespread than had been thought.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we used some interesting data sets from different missions that went to the moon. So there were two different data sets that were used in this piece of work, which were ultimately to try to understand the distribution of water, or OH, so hydroxyl, on the moon. Ultimately, NASA cares about where water on the moon is because we want to use it as a resource at some point. So you don't want to have to bring all your water up to space to make fuel. If you can make it on the moon or, you know, extract it from the moon, that's a lot easier to do.
Is there a sense that given that it is spread out and not just in one or two or a few spots, that it would be easier to extract?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of previous work that went on about the distribution of water on the moon or OH on the moon. And the interesting part about it is, before, we either thought it was sort of localized in certain places or that it varied with the time of day. And so that was kind of an interesting thought. And so it turns out with this work that we just published, you don't need to invoke these sort of exotic hypotheses anymore. So it's almost the simpler hypothesis, right? Occam's razor.
Do you believe that there is more water on the moon than originally thought, or just it's spread out more?
So that's actually a really hard question. Based on the methods that we used in this paper, it's actually really tricky to determine exactly how much water is there or not.
So when we're talking about water distributed on the moon, are we talking about like actual water that if you could extract it, you could put it in a glass and drink it, for example? Or are we talking about like we've heard on Mars where there is evidence that at one point in history, there may or may not have been water in that place?
Yeah. So it's actually the former. So it's actual water. So it's, you know, H2O or OH. But the idea is that, yeah, it is actual water, and the context of that water is not super clear. So we don't know exactly how or where it is, you know, sort of at the fine, fine scale. So at the, like, grain size scale, so the individual grains of the lunar soil, the water could be stuck to the outside of these little mineral grains. It could be a part of the mineral. It's actually really hard to tell at this point. We really don't know.
It's not like we're talking rivers and lakes and reservoirs or anything like that.
Yeah, it would be very diffuse, so not highly concentrated. So yeah, you could process a lot of the lunar regolith and potentially extract, you know, a reasonable amount of water.
Now, you mentioned a little bit ago that one of the reasons NASA cares about this is because they'd like to use it as a resource. Is that for, I don't want to say colonizing the moon, but for, let's say, astronauts go back to the moon at some point, maybe they don't have to bring quite so much water if there's a way to use what's up there?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, NASA is always trying to come up with new ways to use what is available on the bodies that it's examining. And so that's a perfect example. We want to go to the moon, or at some point, hopefully humans will go back to the moon. And the idea is that, yeah, you don't want to have to bring all of your water, all of your oxygen. Maybe you want to make fuel, right? You want to separate the hydrogen and oxygen. And, you know, solar energy is abundant on the moon, obviously, just like Earth. And so, you know, we can use that to generate electricity to separate these molecules.
Does what you found tell us anything additionally about life on the moon, or how, like, we might be able to spend more time there, or how humans could function on the moon?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think we think there's any life on the moon. So this water, you can think of this water as, like, it's a, like, little molecule sort of stuck to the outside of these little grains. So nothing is necessarily going to grow there. But yeah, I think it's an important from the perspective that we might be able to use it at some point. And it says that, you know, you don't have to either invoke these exotic ideas for how water could have gotten there or how it's moving around the surface, but also how we can kind of use it, if that makes sense.
So as you said, there's really not a sense of how much water might be on the moon, dispersed as it is. So how do you go about trying to figure that out? Because if the goal for NASA and others is to maybe not have to bring quite so much water if astronauts go back to the moon, it's tough to know how much to actually bring if you don't know how much is there, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. There's some other missions that are proposed and actually planned to go. So there's the South Pole Aiken Basin Sample Return Mission. That mission keeps being proposed to NASA as an option for how to maybe even get a sample back from the moon. So that would be, it wants to go, you know, NASA wants to send this spacecraft to one of these permanently shadowed regions, scoop up some of the soil and hopefully ice, and bring it back to Earth and analyze it in our really sensitive instruments in the lab. It's hard to do from orbit, is the short version. There's another mission, actually, that's being led out of ASU. It's a CubeSat mission. So it's a really small CubeSat, a really small satellite, sort of the size of a couple of shoeboxes put together. And its goal is to actually map the concentration through a different method.
So hopefully, then, one of those two might be able to give scientists a slightly better sense of what the resources might be like up there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is like classic NASA, how we explore the solar system. We take these sort of baby steps at a time. We send a mission, we find something maybe unexpected, and then we send follow-on missions to improve our understanding of what's going on these planetary surfaces.
All right. Christopher Edwards is a planetary scientist at Northern Arizona University. Christopher, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thanks for having me.